Would you pray with me? Loving God, we give you thanks that your Spirit was given to the disciples and is now in our midst. May through your Spirit our ears be opened, our hearts be softened, so that we might hear your still small voice speaking to us, showing us what you would have us learn from your word and how to apply it, so that whether through me or in spite of me, we may be transformed by you. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The first scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. This is called the Mission of the Twelve. Jesus went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a testament against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them.
We continue our journey through the scripture by moving from the Gospel of Mark, which ended on Easter Sunday, as you may remember, with the women fleeing and saying nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And we move forward to the book of Acts. Now this begins in a way that might seem odd given where we left, but that's because the book of Acts generally follows the book of Luke. Same author, same storyline. But may you hear these words. "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has sent by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into the heavens will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath stage journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The beginning of Luke, the best way that I can describe it, is almost like a television show that's been off the air for a couple of years. The last season finished, it ended with a cliffhanger, but it had been a little while until the new season started up.
First show that comes to mind is Stranger Things, but there's other shows that have you've just waiting for the story to continue. The Gospel of Luke is over. If we apply it to the Gospel of Mark, that ended without even an appearance of the risen Christ, to, oh, you remember how he spent 40 days with you. He spoke about the God's kingdom, and he told them to wait, and all of this stuff that Luke is sharing is like a recap. These are the things that I want you to know that happened in the last season so that you're ready for what's going to happen next. We want you to remember these storylines. And that's what we get. It's a bit abrupt indeed to move from the Gospel of Mark to Acts, but the story is the same. That Jesus is alive, that Jesus is resurrected, that Jesus spent time in the disciples' midst preaching to them, teaching them, and preparing them for what was to come next. And this is where we begin in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is this transition point from the work of Jesus in bodily form prior to ascending to the work of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. But we're in this waiting time. And if you've ever listened to any of my sermons or paid attention to them, you know that I believe that this time is like what we're living in now. This waiting time between what has already happened and what will happen. And this passage in Acts helps us understand what that waiting should look like. What that waiting should look like not only for us as we act, but also in how we approach the world. Because when we get it wrong, when we don't fully understand what waiting for the Lord looks like, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, waiting for the Holy Spirit to direct, if we don't know what that looks like, we're often going to jump the gun. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to rush in without fully understanding where God wants us to go. Or to keep busy, we focus on secondary and tertiary things. I would argue that if you have seen anything on the news or paid any attention to Christians over the last week with the earthquake on Friday, did everybody feel that? I don't know if we were driving at the time. We didn't feel it. But you had the eclipse that you talked about last week. You had an earthquake on Friday. You've got a solar eclipse on Monday, you've got a war in the Holy Land. You've got all of these people waiting and proclaiming the end is near. Obviously, there is something that's going to happen, and the end is here. And then you have other people making things worse to try to bring about the end faster. You have Christians who create foreign policy so that the temple will be rebuilt in the Holy Land, so that Jesus will come back faster. You've got people out there breeding cattle, trying to create red heifers, so that the sacrifice can happen to bring about the end faster. And now just a few weeks ago, we talked about whether or not Jesus was coming soon, and I want to reiterate what I said there here, because it's still true. I'm going to give you a definitive answer on whether Jesus is coming back on Monday. Are you ready for it? It's going to be totally shocking. We have no idea, and it doesn't matter. Now, that first one you might be in agreement with. Okay, we have no idea. Jesus said he didn't even know. Only the Father in heaven knew. We've got that part down. But why doesn't it matter? How could you say it doesn't matter, Pastor? It doesn't matter because it should not have any effect on how we live in this in-between time. We as Christians should be living as if today would be our personal last, or today could be our universal last. We have been called to preach, to teach, to live, to serve, to love. And all of that should be happening whether today is the end of the world or not, whether Monday is the end of the world or not. If we are waiting to know when the end of the world is coming so that we act properly, we've missed the entire point. We've missed the point of what it means to be a disciple.
We've missed the point of the purpose of Revelation and the talking about the end of the world and to give hope to those who are in a world caught in darkness. No matter what age you live in, we've missed the point entirely. And I think it's because we found ourselves in this waiting period, this in-between period, not unlike the disciples did, between when Jesus ascends and when the Holy Spirit comes. They're told to go to Jerusalem and wait. Now, many of us don't like doing that. We don't like being still. We don't like not being active. We don't like not being productive. We've got to go about something. We've got to do something, or we're going to go crazy, or we're going to feel like we're inadequate, or we're going to feel like we're wasting time. We just don't like to wait and to not do. But if we listen to this story, if we approach it from the text on the page, the disciples were not just waiting. They were not just simply sitting around. Tells us that while they were together, they fasted and they prayed and they sought for what God was going to be doing. They didn't fill themselves with busy work. They didn't fill themselves with unimportant tasks. They didn't fill the time saying, well, we've got to go out into Jerusalem now. Surely the Holy Spirit will catch up to us once we're there. They did spend time waiting, but it wasn't inaction. It wasn't the absence of doing. What they were doing was incredibly important and necessary. They were preparing their own hearts and minds in prayer, and they were waiting for God to speak to them and actively listening. If they had not been, you can imagine some of the trouble they might have gotten themselves in. Jerusalem, there was quite a few people who, following Jesus' crucifixion, also wanted to put to death anyone who said he had been risen. Anyone who dared proclaim that Jesus was the Christ and risen, it would not be above them to put them in prison, to beat them, or to kill them. Not universal, but there were people in the midst. If they had left before they were directed, if they were left before they were ready, if they had left before the Holy Spirit had been given to them, if they thought they were going to anticipate what Jesus wanted them to do instead of actually listening to what he wanted to do, they could have gotten themselves into quite a bit of trouble. So instead, they waited. They prayed. They listened. And I'm sure they talked to each other. I'm sure they argued with each other. How long do we have to stay waiting here? How long do we have to sit? Maybe the Holy Spirit has already come upon us. Surely we're ready to go. It might have been all of those things all at once. You get a group of 12 people into a locked room together and told to pray and wait. Our human nature kicks in pretty quick. And so in these moments, in this in-between time that we find ourselves in, our task is not to sit and wait. Our task is not just to be inactive. Maybe our task now is to pray. Maybe our task now is to spend time waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to guide us and direct us and to move us. And as we go about that, we do what Jesus told us to do. Share all that he has taught, do what he has done, and live through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our waiting is different from the disciples. They waited in a room. They waited for the Holy Spirit to come. Our waiting for that time when Christ will come again is not shaped simply by waiting in a room. We would not be doing God's will if we gather here every day of the week and prayed together, just waiting for it to happen. And it's certainly not by preparing for the working to bring about the end times. instead of working to bring about life change in God's kingdom in our midst. We are in a difficult time. There are voices out there proclaiming that the end is nigh. That is going to come on Monday, even, some say, or something cataclysmic. And I think it's meant to drive fear. It's meant to drive, push forward into this understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do. Maybe it might move people to action. But that's not the waiting. It's busy work. It's manipulation. It's not living as Jesus has called us to. We should be giving hope. We should be proclaiming Christ. And we should be living each day as if it could be our last, proclaiming Christ, loving the lost, and serving those around us who are hurting. If we do that in prayer, then it truly does not matter when the end will come. And this should give us hope. It's certainly one less thing to worry about.
Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that your Spirit is moving in our midst. That even if we go about our lives too many times unaware of or not paying attention to you, we know that you are there, and we know that you are at work in our world. And when we see a world that seems so caught up in darkness, so caught up in pain and suffering, so caught up in just selfishness, that you are at work creating cracks, planting seeds of life, and that you call us along the journey to participate in what you are doing and planting the seeds of your kingdom, both here in Berwyn and around the world. And so we ask that your Spirit would speak to us, that you would guide us and show us how to be your active participants in that work, your active partners in the kingdom-building work that you are doing. We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to act with conviction, to speak with love, to serve with willing hands, to see those who would remain, society would say, are to be kept hidden, to see the suffering that many try to hide, to see where the needs are greatest, and be moved with compassion and courage to meet those needs wherever they are. We seem so powerless in our lives this day. The needs and challenges seem so great. From speaking love and hope to someone who is grieving into the greatest needs in our world today, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We seem like we can offer so little. And yet, as your beloved children redeemed by Christ and your grace, you have given us a power we could never understand fully. Not a power for our sakes, not a power to lift ourselves up or to claim a bigger clout in our world, but a power to bring healing, hope, power to bring light and love and transformation. A power not meant for us and ourselves, but a power given to us for the sake of others. Help us to claim that power. Help us to gather in prayer and seek out your Spirit to move in us and among us, to direct us and guide us, so that we might proclaim your good news through word, through deed, that you are alive, that you are redeeming our world each day, that there is no one caught in such a great a sin that they are beyond your forgiveness and redemption, and that there is no person who feels alone or unloved that is not loved by you so deeply that you would die for them. Help us to share this story, this good news, with those who desperately need to hear it. And for those who hear it and receive it well, help us to grow in love with them and build connections between them and you. And for those who would even reject your story and reject it for themselves, help us to pray for them even more. And when we need to hear your story, when we have forgotten it, when we have taken it for granted, surround us with others who would speak your story to us, so that we might hear it with fresh ears, new hearts. We ask this all so that we don't shrink from the challenges of this world, that we don't think the powers and principalities of this world are just too great to be challenged, that we would speak life into systems that would maim, destroy, systems of war and oppression. For when we have benefited from such powers and principalities, we seek your forgiveness. We seek a new way. In all things, help us to rest in your spirit, rest in your love, to not be anxious about the world, not be anxious about when you will come again, not be anxious about anything, but to find our rest and peace in you, so that no matter what may come, we know it is in your hands. We pray for those people that we have lifted up this day, for those who are grieving the passing of a loved one, those who may be wondering whether or not there is life after this death, who may be seeking meaning and hope but are unsure of where to look, those who simply need to hear words of comfort and love. We pray for them. We pray for those around them. And we pray that they may hear those words, whether through us or through someone else. If there is any way that we can be an answer to the prayers that someone has, the prayers of somebody who's next to us is fervently praying, that you would move through us, speak through us, show your love through us, so that all may come to know how much you love them in the forgiveness and peace that you offer. We pray for a world that is hurting, for those who are unsure of where their next meal will come from, those in need of medicine and care, those who face the threat of violence, the threat of suffering and oppression because of who they are, who they love, the color of their skin, their gender, or what they believe. We long for that day, O Lord, when your justice and mercy will reign. But we know we are not there yet. And as we caught in the in-between time of your promise and its fulfillment, help us to live as your disciples this day, as we pray the prayer that Christ our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May you go from this place trusting in the God that brought you here, trusting in the Holy Spirit to be with you, to guide you, to give you power, to speak words of love and hope and forgiveness into a world that desperately needs to hear it. May you shine Christ's light into the darkest places of this world and be reminded that darkness is only temporary and that the light will come again. And now let us pray the words we pray each week. Send to us all the people who feel unwanted and unloved in other places. If they can't come to us, send us to them. May you go from this place in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May he guide you and protect you, and may his face shine upon you until we meet again. Amen.